This is Talking Business.
Joining me now is Dr. Peter Devine, who's the CEO of Uniseed. G'day, Peter.
Hi, how are you going?
Thanks for joining us. Uniseed, it's a joint venture capital firm owned by universities. Tell us about the history of it.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, look, it was set up a long time ago. We've been operating for about 17 years. We have, you know, gone through some changes in that time, but it was originally set up in late 2000 by two universities, Melbourne and Queensland, who put up $10 million each. And the idea was, at the time, there was this valley of death. You know, you'd get research inventions, and they just weren't quite ready for the traditional venture capital markets to take them up.
Are these inventions at those universities?
Out of those universities. So the problem was they'd get things, really great science, great inventions, but they'd sit there. And so they put up some money to help move stuff out across what they call that valley of death.
But why did they do it as a joint venture company? Why couldn't they each sort of put money into their own inventions?
Yeah, that's a good point. Look, I think the model for them worked better. I think collectively it helped them spread risk. They had that, you know, they didn't want to lose their money. They wanted to get their money back. It gave them exposure to more technologies, but I think it also helped with the decision-making process in that sometimes if you put the money in the hands of the person who has the intellectual property, it's very hard to say no. So I think having the joint venture and the way it was originally structured helped them do that.
It kind of separated the decision-making, I guess, into some sort of more independent body.
That's right. It was set up as an independent company. So it made independent decisions, you know, and based on, you know, that ability to make a return.
But I think other universities have come in and also CSIRO, is that right? Who's in it now?
Yeah, that's right. We've now, moving forward to today, we've now got the two original unis, Queensland and Melbourne, but we've got Sydney Uni, New South Wales Uni and the CSIRO, who've all committed $10 million each. So it's a $50 million fund.
And how many investments have you made?
Yeah, so we started our most recent fund just over 2.25 years ago. We've done 9 investments to date. So we're generally doing about 4 investments a year. Between all of those research organisations, they each spend between $800 million and $1 billion a year, and that makes up about 40% of all the research expenditure in Australia in research organisations. So they're not a bad group of 5 organisations to work with. So we're seeing, you know, some really interesting stuff there, and you know, we've been able to get quite a number of investments away.
And but do you get you got $50 million from those 5 shareholders in your organisation? Do you get money from elsewhere as well?
No, well, we do have relationships with other people who will come along and invest with us. But we made a conscious decision that we wanted to have an aligned shareholder base, so we've avoided taking in private money, private capital, and the reason for that is, part of the way the fund's designed, we call it a commercialization fund, not a venture capital fund. We make that distinction in that we have this dual mandate or raison d'etre, which is sure to act under the commercial discipline of a fund, but also to help facilitate moving stuff out of the uni and facilitate commercialization, which means we do more investments than a traditional fund, but we put a lower amount of money into each than a traditional fund would. And as it's turned out, that model that we designed is worked very well because we've got a greater diversification benefit across a number of technologies. And in our last fund, we were quite successful and we had a number of big exits, and hence we're still going and we've started a new fund with some new members.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to get it. You have separate funds, do you? I mean, you said that each was put in $10 million. Do they put in $10 million repeatedly?
Look, the way it works is each is committed 10, so we have a combined commitment of $50 million, and that commitment started about 2 years ago, and that goes for 10 years. And then at the end of that 10 years, there's a review date whereby people can either decide to go again or not go again. And the idea is in that 10 years...
Oh, so they're committing the $10 million for 10 years.
That's right. And we'll hopefully return all their money before that 10 years is up. Right. So it's an easy decision, which it was in the last fund.
So do you have a system for how you go about it? What typically is the size of your investment?
Yeah,
And what do you look for?
Yeah, typical investment, it really depends on, you know, the risk we put on an investment and the stage of development. But generally, in that first round, between $500,000 up to $750,000. And over the life of the investment, we'll continue to invest all the way through. Over the life of the investment, we'll invest up to around $2.5 million. In terms of what we look for, in terms of technology, all the stuff we see is great science. So it's not really about the science, but a lot of our focus is on market and competition, making sure that we really understand the market and define what that market is. And then there are some good ideas that just as a venture investment aren't going to make enough money to make it worthwhile for the risk. So there's also got to be that ability to give a sort of a 10 times return. And so in that last fund, which ran from 2006 to 16, we had three of those, what we call 10 baggers, which basically the way it works is those three pay for the whole fund effectively. Yeah.
And what typically, how much of the business or the technology do you buy or do you own? How does the ownership of it work? And who owns the rest of it, the university or the individual researcher?
Now, that can vary, but effectively, as an employee of an organisation, the employer owns their intellectual property. So for academics working in the universities, the university legally owns their intellectual property. So what happens is they put in the intellectual property at a value. We have to figure out and discuss that and negotiate a value. We put in our cash at that value, and that works out the percentage split. The interesting thing is the universities, though, do give a return. All the universities have various what they call splits policies where they return some of that, some of that, if there's a commercial return, some of that goes back to the inventor. So the inventors don't miss out. And the other extreme is a student. And a student owns their own IP. And we've had a company called Smart Sparrow, which is an online learning company. And in that case, the student owns their intellectual property. Sometimes the university can get some ownership because there might be some other know-how or stuff that they've done. But so there's a spectrum, and we're pretty flexible.
Does that system apply to CSIRO as well?
CSIROs are, the same in that they're employees. CSIRO owns their intellectual property, and we deal with the commercialisation people at CSIRO. But very importantly, those scientists, the inventors, are really important to the success of the venture going forward. So we need to get them engaged. So we need to, they need to get a reward or be rewarded. And all the organisations have that ability. And we also consider employee share option schemes if they come and work for the company, to try to give them some extra benefit.
And do you always sell the business?
That's the general idea. We need to get our money back, although we have got one where the model at the moment, because we've got a broad technology, it's a company called ProGen, where we can license it to multiple partners. The idea with that one is just to collect royalties from different licenses and pay dividends. Ultimately, someone may buy that, but really, we need to get to an event where we return money.
So the fund that ran from 2006 to 2016, yep, everyone put in $10 million each, right?
Yep.
Do the returns that you end up paying back at the end of the 10 years go back one-fifth to all? Or do the universities that contributed the technology get more?
In terms of our fund, if they all put in an equal amount, they all get back an equal amount. However, the universities that contributed the intellectual property would also get a return from their intellectual property.
From their intellectual property, of course.
That's right.
So when you paid it back in 2016,
yep,
how much did each of them get?
The way it works is as it comes through, we pay it straight back. But look, I can't talk too much about returns, but you were certainly in the black. It's just not something we put out there publicly, but it certainly was in the black. I will say, because of the nature of what we do, we're very early stage. If you're in a traditional venture fund where you have what's called a 10-year close fund, you generally need to return three times the money in 10 years. We didn't quite make that mark, but we actually exceeded the benchmarks of the Australian Venture Capital Association for nine other funds that started at the same time. So we were sort of in the middle, somewhere in the middle there. But which, for what we do, considering we start very early and take very early risk, I think was a really outstanding result.
So over those 10 years of that, yep, of that fund, how many investments did you make?
So we made in that fund 24 investments, and there were three, what I'd call, I've said before, really great. And there were a number of others where we got back, one times or 1.5 times our money. So there are a few others in that category.
How many failures
business?
Oh, there were probably, I'd say, out of 24, there would have been probably, you know, there were some of them are still going now, so I'm working in my head, but probably about at least half of them failed. And that's the model. That's how it works.
That's how it works. That's venture capital for you.
That's right. And we need to. The trick is, I think, we need to fail them quickly. You want the ones that you continue to invest in and put a lot of money in to be the successes, and the ones that aren't going to work, you want to bail out a bit earlier.
So the latest fund, what's now been going for 2 years?
Yeah,
that right?
That's right.
And how many investments have you made?
So 9 investments to date. Yeah, so we've been pretty active just trying to get stuff away. Yeah.
Any 10 baggers yet?
Not yet. We're sort of hopeful. It's interesting. We're in the last fund, it took us 8 years to get to those exits, and we had 3 exits basically in 2 years. They actually won the Australian Venture Capital. Those investments won the Australian Venture Capital Association Best Early Stage Deal in 2014, 15, and 16. But it took us 8 years, and that was interesting managing that. But this fund, we're hopeful to get there in about 5 years, which is 3 more years' time. We sort of see our first exits.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
fascinating. Well, great to talk to you, Peter. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Al.
I've been talking to Dr. Peter Devine, who's the CEO of Uniseed.